There are a lot of good passage in 1 Corinthians, okay? Like chapter 13, like chapter 7, like chapter 15. So I don't rush to it. And we just study word by word so that we try to learn from it, so that our labor in Christ is not in vain. Our worship in our Lord Jesus Christ is not in vain, so that our preaching and our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ is not in vain, and your belief is not in vain. And I found out that a lot of people, they come to the church, they will have a surprise when they see Jesus Christ face to face, because they don't pay attention to what Paul has to say. Our Heavenly Father, we quiet ourselves. Just follow the very footstep of Mary at your feet and listen to what you have to say. And do not let anything to distract us from listening to what you have to say. And help us to hide what we learn today within our heart so that we won't sin against you. So that whatever we do, whatever we believe, will not be in vain. And help us to hold fast the word of God. Hold firmly to what we hear. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I read that one more time. It's only two verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, brothers, I just want to ask, is anyone using a newer version of NIV? Could you raise your hand? If your newer version, it read like that. Now, brothers and sisters. In the original language, there's no sister. Okay? And they add to it. And sometimes they add to it, they think there's no harm to it. 15 verse 1, they say, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6, the newer translation like that. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of brothers and sisters at the same time. That's wrong. He didn't appear to 500 brothers and sisters. It's 500 brothers. It's not 500 brothers and sisters. Okay? I think when people add to the Bible, if they know the consequences of that, they won't do it. That's why Jesus Christ, the first saint, when he was hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. I found out a lot of people, when they pray, they don't know what they are praying. You know, they're not using God's word to pray. They're using a lot of man's word to pray. And their prayer is in vain. Okay? You learn from it. You don't learn from the foolish people. You learn from the wise people. Okay? So, I want to mention what is the consequences of doing it. And let's hear what the Lord said to Moses twice. Turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 30. Chapter 12, verse 32. Let's hear what the Lord said to Moses. See, that you do not see that you do all I command you. Do not add to it or take away from it. You know, I think that nowadays, a lot of people, they do things ignoring the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. They add to it, and they delete it, and they think they are wise. You know who did that? It's not regular people. It's a scholar. They are PhD. Okay? I found out that only NIV changes. NIV is very popular. So they want to make it more popular. Now it's feminism. It's the advocacy of the woman right. They want more women to buy the NIV. Same as some preacher. They preach to you. They want more people to come to the church. They don't care whether it's accurate or not. As long as you come to the church, as long as you give money to them, it's all right. But that's not what God said. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. I'll read that to you one more time. The Lord speak to him twice. First, he speak to him in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, and then in chapter 12, verse 32. Chapter 4, verse 2. Do not add to what I command you and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. He mentioned it once in chapter 4. He mentioned it twice in chapter 12, 32. See that you do all I command you and do not add to it or take away from it. As time goes on, you turn to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6. When Solomon was filled with the Holy Spirit, he said the same thing. Chapter 30, verse 5 and 6. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. Now, that's the consequences to be a liar. I want you to circle the word liar, okay? I just mentioned it twice, but actually in the Proverbs, mentioned it numerous times. You write down right beside liar, chapter 19, verse 5. A false witness will not go unpunished. And he who pour out lies will not go free. 19:9, Proverbs. A false witness will not go unpunished. He who pour out lies will perish. If you know that, you add to it, you are a liar. And if you don't change, if you don't repent, first of all, God going to punish you. You will not go free. And after many punishment, you refuse to change. You're going to die. You're going to die in your own sins because you add to it. Go back, Proverbs chapter 6. Hear what the Lord hates. Chapter 6, verse 16 to 19, Proverbs. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, circle the word. Lying tongue, the Lord hates. Hand that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked scheme. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. Number 6, in verse 19. A false witness who pour out lies. The seventh thing that God detests, a man who stirs dissension among brothers. After Solomon said that, first of all, Moses said that, and then Solomon. After Solomon said that, Jeremiah. I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 26, because Jeremiah liked to please people. And the Lord know that and warn him. You don't do that. Okay? A lot of people pleaser. You hear what he or she say, then you know that he's a people pleaser. He's not the servant of the Lord because he add to it. He's a liar. Chapter 26, Jeremiah, verse 2. This is what the Lord said. Stand in the courtyard of the Lord's house. Speak to all the people of the town of Judah who come to worship in the house of the Lord. Tell them everything I command you. Do not omit a word. Sometimes some preacher, they say, wow, this word is too severe. I don't want to say that's so severe. You know, this kind of person is not a servant of God. Is a servant of Satan. Because he tried to use his own wisdom. I want you to hear what Jesus say about that. Gospel of John, chapter 7. Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. When you say, now, brother and sister, that is your teaching. That's not Jesus' teaching. Because you add to it. Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. Right beside that, it comes from him who sent me. You write down chapter 3, verse 34. For the one whom God has sent speaks the word of God. They don't add to it. They don't delete it. They don't omit it. For God gave the Spirit without limit. When he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he speak what God wants him to say. You don't add to it. You speak from the worldly point of view. You don't have the Holy Spirit within your heart. You have the evil spirit within your heart. You follow the world. Go back chapter 7, verse 16 again. Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teachings come from God or whether I speak on my own. When you add, now, brothers and sisters, you speak on your own. And God say, I didn't say that. I say, now, brother, I remind you the gospel that I preach to you. Okay? Go back. Verse 17. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Verse 18. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. It's self-seeking. Love is not self-seeking. You try to say things, try to please people. You perish, you don't even know. Because you don't read the Bible. When people warn you, you think that, wow, you're too harsh. I'm not saying, you know what? If I'm too hard, you can ignore it. Because I'm not God. If that's what God say, you reject it. I'm afraid you reject God who give you the Holy Spirit. You are in deep trouble. Your worship, your labor is in vain because you don't honor God. You honor human being. You try to please people. Verse 18 again, he who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. He's not trying to honor God, but he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is the man of truth. Jesus is the man of truth.
Paul is the man of truth. Nowadays, a lot of lying. A lot of lying. They try to be politically correct. Okay? Don't follow that, okay? That's why I don't rush to it. I only preach two verses. If you still don't learn from it, nothing I can do. All right? I'll go back. Well, Pastor John, what's the difference between now brothers and sister? Remind me to tell you the difference. Okay? A lot of people, they read the Bible, they don't think, they see there's no difference. There's a lot of difference. Okay? I just point out one of the differences in verse 6. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of brothers, not 500 of brother and sister. If it's 500 of brother and sister, that means 250 is man, 250 is female, right? No, that's not. It's 500 brothers. It's 500 brothers. Go back, the last book, Revelation. Let's hear what Jesus said regarding addition and omission of the Word of God. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. I warn everyone who hear the word of the prophecy of this book. If anyone add anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone take word away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. You take away the word of God. God say, you cannot eat the fruit from the tree of life. God say, you cannot enter the holy city. That means you go to hell. When someone tell you something, you better check it out. And you study it yourself. And you examine it to see whether what he's saying is right or wrong. Everybody say, do not be foolish. All right? Anyone who follow the fool, you become fool. Anyone who follow the wise, you become wise. Go back. 15:1. Now, brother, what is the reason why in here God speak to the brother? There's a reason for it. Because when God spoke to Adam first. God did not speak to Eve. Go back. Chapter 14, verse 34. Women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the Lord said. If women want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husband at home. Circle the word. Ask their own husband. Why? Because God spoke to Adam. God spoke to the brothers first. A lot of brothers, they are wishy-washy. They are no good. They don't read the Bible. So that's why the woman stand up and want to take his place. I say that one more time. You look around, whether in this church or in another church. There are a lot of women come to know Christ. And whereas their husband, they don't go to the church. And then this family, won't get so much blessing. Like if a husband comes to know Christ, he's the head of the household. He say, everybody get up on Sunday. We go to the church. Everyone will go to the church. Unfortunately, brothers are not doing the job. They don't hear that. It is the Lord who give you the honor. Because when I speak through my servant Paul, I speak to the man. You understand? If you don't understand, what can I say? So, go back. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. That means whatever Paul had preached to them, somehow, when Paul left, a lot of people add to it, a lot of people delete from it. Okay? Just like today. We see that because of familism, they add the word sister there. Okay? That means they think everything is equal. No, it's not equal. Let me tell you one thing. When a man preach, when a man pray, he didn't need to cover his head because his head reflects the glory of Jesus Christ. But where's the woman pray? He pray when he preach. He didn't shy for her own glory, her face. That means her head is her husband. You don't understand that? What can I say? I say numerous times, it's up to you to do it. Okay? Now go back. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preach to you, which you receive, and on which you have taken your stand. When we receive the gospel, we make sure we understand and then we take our stand on the gospel. What does it mean by take our stand on the gospel? I want you to turn to Ephesians. As the last chapter of Ephesians chapter 6, before Paul finished the book of Ephesians chapter 6, he said, finally, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He said, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. When you take your stand, you take your stand against the devil's scheme. Brother and sister, I want to say one more thing. When I complain about the NIV, the newer version, I am not against the human being. And I am against the devil's scheme. They are controlled by the evil spirit. Because they follow the devil. Devil always add to it. That's why how the devil deceived Eve. And then omit to it. Oh, you won't die. Devil say you won't die. You die, okay? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. If you put your faith in his word, right beside, be strong in the Lord and be strong in his mighty power. How can you have the mighty power? The key word in understanding this is chapter 1 in verse 19 to 20, Ephesians. And his incomparably great power, incomparably incomparably great power is the mighty power for us who believe. If you believe in His word, He's going to demonstrate His power in your life. You do your own thing, you never see His power. I say that one more time. And His incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realm. We don't fight the good fight with Satan with our own power. We are weak. We don't follow his evil scheme. We follow God's word. When we follow God's word, and God can demonstrate his mighty power in your life. Verse 11, chapter 6. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. I'm not against you. I'm against what is in your heart, the evil spirit, because you're not following God's word. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authority, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realm. Verse 13, you want to be strong in the Lord? You want to be mighty in our Lord Jesus Christ? You have to put on the full armor of God. Verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Right beside stand your ground, to stand against the devil's scheme, you write down 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. On this gospel which I preach to you, you have taken your stand. But a lot of people, they don't care what God say. They despise God's word. They add to it. They keep on doing their own thing. And they don't seem to know the consequences of it. If you don't take your stand, you don't hold fast the word of God, you don't hold firmly to the word I preach to you, Paul said that, I am afraid you have believed in vain. Circle the word in verse 2. You have believed in vain. That means you are not saved. You don't have the salvation yet. How can I get the salvation in verse 2? By this gospel you are saved. On this gospel you take your stand and fight the good fight. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. What if I don't hold firmly to the word of God? I just keep on doing what I need to do. And you have believed in vain. That means you are not saved. You think Paul write the 1 Corinthians settled the matter? No, the matter hasn't been settled. You turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Chapter 11 verse 1. I hope you will put up with a little of my foolishness. But you are already doing that. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise you to one husband, to Christ, so that I may present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your mind may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than Jesus we preach, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. But I do not think I am the least inferior to those super apostles. I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of God's word. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Brother and sister, if there is no false prophet, then you don't have to test whether your pastor preaching is correct or not. Unfortunately, there are a lot of false prophets, false teachers. Okay? I want you to turn to book of 2 Peter. Take a look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, that means in the past. Just as there will be false teachers among you. Even though the NIV, a lot of churches using the NIV. Do you see the work of Satan, the devil's scheme? People don't read the Bible. They won't fight that good fight. They don't even know that they have to fight for that. Okay? They fight for things that they shouldn't have been fighting for, and the thing that they should have fought for, they don't. Okay? They will secretly introduce destructive heresy, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. You try to destroy other faith, you will be destroyed. Verse 2. Many will follow their shameful way and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, this teacher will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. It will be very quick. Peter said that. And that's why, in his last chapter, chapter 3, verse 15, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letter contains something that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scripture, to their own destruction. You try to destroy people by changing it, you destroy yourself. If you know that you're going to destroy yourself, just like he who tell lie, he who give false witness, will not go unpunished, will not go free, will destroy yourself, will perish. This is Old Testament teaching. Now it's the New Testament teaching. And you miss that numerous times. And Peter said in verse 17, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Paul said that, I have the knowledge. You have to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
To him be glory, both now and forevermore. I want to go back. I want to see why so many people want to follow the world. Turn to Psalm 94. Take a look at what the psalmist say. Psalm 94, verse 16. Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand? Circle the word, take a stand. You know, if you don't hear the word of God, you cannot take a stand. Just like what Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. On this gospel, you have taken your stand. And God asked his children, who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against evildoers? You know, if I want to be a people pleaser, I won't say anything. Why should I say? As if I don't hear. But God can hold me accountable to that. You have no word of God, but I have the word of God within my heart. I know the consequences of it. I won't do it. And then verse 17 is very beautiful. Unless the Lord has given me help. Any preacher, any godly people, take a stand on the gospel. And only preach about the gospel. Denounce any false teaching. People going to attack them. Including the congregation. That's why he said, unless the Lord has given me help, I would soon have dwelled in the silence of death. When I said, my foot is sleeping, your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. Can a corrupt throne be allied with you, one that bring on misery by its decree? They band together against the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. When you tell them they are wrong, just like Samuel tell King Saul you are wrong, King Saul give all kind of excuse. But when Nathan the prophet tell King David, you are wrong. Then King David confessed his sins and be answered. And he received mercy from God. That's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, we were by nature object of God's wrath. But because we confess our sin and renounce our sin, we become object of God's mercy, prepared in advance for glory. That's why a lot of people, they like to go to the church to feel good, and then they go to hell. I tell you one more illustration, human illustration. Okay? There's an older gentleman, witness for your grandfather, and he made that statement. He said, I believe that Bong Baba has already believed in God. Although his mouth did not confess Jesus is Lord. Unfortunately, he didn't memorize God's word. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Let's hear what God has to say. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, circle the word and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. He didn't say, you just confess with your mouth, then you are saved.
He said, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you are saved. And verse 10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess are saved. You have to do two things. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. I heard numerous times when Papa said to me, I don't believe in resurrection. And how can he be saved? I want you to write that down right beside verse 9 and verse 10. You write down Matthew chapter 12, 36 and 37. But I tell you that man will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your word you will be acquitted, and by your word you will be condemned. I want you to circle the word. Verse 36, man. It's not woman. It's not girl. You know what? If my daughter say things that is not appropriate, or maybe she make a vow, if I don't like it, I can voice her vow because I'm the man of the household. But if I'm the man who speaks something, no one can voice it. If your wife says something, you don't like it, I can voice it because I'm the head of the household. And you don't memorize God's word. You try to do your own thing. When people tell you you're wrong, you better repent, not to argue. Because God takes the man accountable to what he's saying for the entire household. That's why the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 31, believe in the Lord, you and your entire household will be saved. That was spoken to man. You have to understand that. When God spoke to you, you better listen as the head of the household. Do you hear me, Carl? If there's something wrong, I don't know whether you hear that. Lady, General Electric in U.S. is in deep trouble. You know who take the fight, who take the blame? The CEO. You understand? CEO is the head of the company. You make the company go down, you take the responsibility. I will crawl back to all the bonuses that I gave it to you. Of course, if the CEO has to take the brain, if he didn't change it, the company will go bankrupt. Remember what I say. Don't go by familism. Hannah, do you hear that? Joyce? Emily? This is the path to destruction. The path of the wise lead upward, keeping him away from the grave. Go for what Jesus has to say. Listen to it. Things that you don't understand, ask people who understand and ask him, what's the difference? Why you're saying what you're saying? And then you check it out yourself to see whether it is right or wrong. I don't know whether you remember Numbers chapter 12. The book of Numbers chapter 12. Miriam complained about his brother Moses in front of his brother Aaron. You know what happened to Miriam? She got leprosy. She's not supposed to do a thing like that. You complain about Moses? I'm afraid that you're not complaining about Moses. You're complaining about God chosen him. When Aaron see that, he asked Moses for forgiveness. Hide all these words within your heart, then you will fear the Lord. When you fear the Lord, salvation of God come near to you, and the Lord will fulfill the desire of your heart and bless you all the days of your life. Talk about false prophet. Take a look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But they are going so that none of them belongs to us. And then Jude, only one chapter, verse 3. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. I am contending the faith. I fight the good fight. I tell you not to follow that. For certain men, those condemnation was written about long ago, have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our Lord into a license for immortality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Wow, if you look at the seven churches, there are work of Satan in the seven churches. I don't have to mention it. Better watch out, my brother and sister. Okay? Read God's word. Memorize it and ask questions you don't understand and hide that within your heart. I am afraid you have believed in vain. If your belief in Jesus Christ is in vain, you believe another Jesus, then you are in deep trouble. Some churches, like the mainline denomination, some of them has already denied that Jesus is born through the Virgin Mary. And in the Church of Corinth, they say there's no resurrection. Within 10 years, they changed it already. In conclusion, I want to remind you, four portions of the scripture. First portion, chapter 13 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand, circle the word does not understand. You go to the church, you do not understand, you will keep on doing what you're doing. If you do not understand it, the evil one comes and snatch away what was sown in his heart. He didn't say in her heart. He said in his heart. Make sure you are a man. You understand that. You teach your wife. You teach your children. In here, they say the evil one. And then, in Mark, he's using different words. Turn to Mark chapter 6, chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, he used the word Satan. 4:14, the farmer sowed the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, because they don't understand it, Satan is the evil one. Satan comes and take away the word that was sown in them. Take a look at Dr. Luke in Luke chapter 8. He didn't say the evil one. He didn't say Satan. He said the devil. 魔鬼. Chapter 8, verse 12. Those along the path are the one who hear. They don't understand. The evil one, Satan, the devil comes and take away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. If you don't have the word of God within your heart, you are not saved. Satan didn't want you to be saved because you don't understand. Do you see that? Oh, you know, this parable of sowing only written in three books, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. What about John? John is written in 1 John chapter 2, verse 24 to 27. You know what? If you have the word of God within your heart, you know what I'm saying is correct. If you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, you know that what I'm saying is correct. I read that to you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. In conclusion, see that. Make sure you do it. See that what you have heard from the beginning remain in you. If it does, you also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. If you have that, you have eternal life. You are saved. You don't have that, I'm sorry. Satan has already snatched it out of your heart. You don't know what you believe. Your belief is in vain. Right beside that, your belief is in vain. Write down these three parables, Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8, and then 1 John chapter 2. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. Who lead you astray? The evil one, Satan, the devil. As for you, the anointing is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit you receive from him remain in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. Because as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is will, not counterfeit, just as it's taught you, remain in the Lord and remain in the Father, remain in his love, remain in his word. Our Heavenly Father, we have heard loud and clear what you have said to us. We know so many people try to change the gospel, change about the word of God, and try to please people. Lord, you know that. That's why you use your servant Paul to write 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to refute all these false prophets, false teachers. Hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. Watch over me from any attack from Satan. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.